all. And so with today, we're going to continue in Colossians chapter 2, reading in verses 6 through 10. So if you've got your Bibles, I would ask that you stand in the honor of the reading of God's word as we read Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. I'll be reading the word today. Paul is writing and he says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority." This is the word of God. You can go ahead and be seated. Today, we have 2 points that we're going to be talking about. And if you've got a piece of paper and a pen, I want you to write down the first one as we begin. The first thing that I want us to see as we walk through this passage, and we're going to see a lot of scripture today, and we're going to walk back and forth in scripture. So I want you to have your word with you. If you can't find all of it or you can't get to all of it, I want you to write it down because I want you to be able to go back and see it a little bit later. So the first thing that I want us to see from this passage is this, is that if Jesus isn't Lord, he isn't your Savior. If Jesus isn't your Lord, he isn't your Savior. Pastor and author and theologian, he is on staff at Asbury Seminary up in Kentucky. His name is J.D. Walt. He has written and said, "We live in an era where the gospel is presented with two options. You've got the basic package, and then you have the deluxe package. The basic package includes Jesus as Savior, while the deluxe package includes Jesus as Lord." I want to be really, really clear from the very beginning here. You don't pick and choose. When you come to Jesus Christ and you surrender your life to him, when he brings you from death to life, you get Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you have him only as Lord, you don't have, or if you don't have him, if all you have him is as Savior, you do not have him as Lord. Because you there's no cafeteria here. It's not as if you can go to Ryan's or Luby's or Shoney's or wherever, and you're going to take a little bit of Jesus as Savior. I'm going to get a little bit of grace. I'm going to get a whole lot of heaven. I want a lot of joy, but I don't want any Lord. It doesn't work that way. When we come to Jesus Christ and we surrender our life to him, when he opens our eyes and he brings us from death to life, we have to come not just as Savior, but Savior and Lord. When my family lived in Houston prior to moving to Middle Tennessee. I served on a church staff there, and we lived in an urban area. It was all just the urban sprawl in the Houston area. You know, if you lived in Houston, it took an hour to get to Houston anywhere. I mean, it's just massive. And so the place where we lived, we had a little neighborhood church near us, and it was your quintessential, like you'd see on a postcard or a calendar. It was a white church, had a tall steeple. It had a cross in front of it. And Amy being the incredible teacher, Amy's a teacher by vocation, and her being a teacher and us trying to talk our kids, trying to figure out every way we can to bring the gospel to bear at all kinds of moments. Our kids were very, very small. And so they knew daddy worked at a church. They saw this church. Oh, this church has a big cross. And we begin to talk about, you know, we're driving by it every day, multiple times a day. So we start talking about the cross. The cross is Jesus died on a cross. And you're trying to make the connections the best way that you can. And Amy helped to come up with a little saying that cross means boss. Cross means boss. You see, if Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, and we've come to him, and we say that we believe in the cross, we believe in what Jesus did, that means he is our boss. You realize the word Lord means boss. The word Lord means boss. I'm going to take it that most of you in here, you have a job of some sort. You go somewhere to work, and or you did go somewhere to work, and you used to have a boss. You are not able just to look at your boss and say no, unless you're the boss. If you're the boss, you can say that. But if you're the boss and your employee keeps telling you no, no, they obviously don't want to work for you any longer. The scripture tells us this passage. Notice what he says in verse 6 here. In verse 6, he says this. He says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord. That "the" right there is in the passage. You look that up. Many times articles aren't in the Greek passage. This article is. It is a definite article. That means it's not a Lord, it means the Lord. He said, as you receive Jesus Christ, the Lord. He didn't say the Savior, the Lord. We're asking Jesus when we come to him and we surrender our life, we want him to save us. We want him to save us from eternal separation in a real place called hell. We want to be with him in heaven. Many people don't like to talk about hell. They believe in a real heaven. They don't believe in a real hell. But I need you to know, if there is a real heaven, there has to be a real hell. And Jesus says, Paul reiterates that if you come to Jesus, he's not just Savior, he's Lord. Because if he's not Lord, he's not Savior. He didn't come just so that he could change our eternal destiny. He came so that our lives would look different today, here, so that we would represent him. If all he did was come so that we could one day go to heaven, we would surrender our lives to Christ and he would take us to heaven. He's left us here to represent him, to live a life of transformation so that others might know him and we would represent him as our boss. Because you see, the cross means boss. He is our Lord. The famous missionary E. Stanley Jones has written and said, Jesus will be Lord of all, or he will not be Lord at all. I need you to hear this. I want to be really, really clear here. I'm not trying to step on your toes, but if I am, that's really the Holy Spirit. It's not me. I want to make sure and say that. Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. You see, because when we come to the cross, he becomes our boss. And it's possible in this very room today, that some of you have been deceived and deluded into thinking that you follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You might say this, hey, I've been baptized. Hey, I checked the box on the Christian on the census. I went to Vacation Bible School. You know what? Kyle, you don't recognize, I grew up in this small little town and I got a gold star every time I went to Sunday school and I got perfect attendance all the way through elementary school. My mom, she grew up in church. My grandpa, that's like being a Christian by birth. And we know that we're not Christian by earthly birth. We're Christian by heavenly birth. You see, to say that Jesus is my Savior, but my life, and I am harping on this for a few moments, to say that he's my Savior, but there is no change in our life day to day. No transformation day to day. I don't follow what he says. I show up at a church. I mean, it has become like a good club. This is just what we do on Sunday. But when I leave, there's no change. Go back to Colossians 1. Turn back a couple of pages. Maybe one. Colossians chapter 1. I want to read verses 21 through 23. Here, you realize this is a letter. So this is one thought. He's continuing in his thoughts. He says this in Colossians 1, 21 through 23. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the flesh, in the faith. If indeed you continue in the faith. You see, listen, what he's saying here is that if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, you've submitted your life to him, you then have been transformed. He can't just be your savior from eternal hell. He is your savior every day. He's your Lord. I walk in him. He says, continue in that walk. You keep walking. He says, you live out what the boss, your Lord, has to say. This is what he's called us to. You see, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. It's how you persevere. The scripture is very clear. Those who are saved persevere all the way to the end. Those who say, he's my savior and my Lord, they walk with him daily. The question I have for you today is I want you to remember and think through, what does it look like for you? Will today be the last time that you spend time thinking about following after what Jesus is asking of you? You see, if you claim him as Savior, but there's no change in your life, you've heard me say this often, and I don't take pride in saying this. I have to continue to remind you of this. If there's no change, there's probably no Jesus. You're counting on a savior and no lordship. And you can't have one without the other. They go together. One package. It's the deluxe package. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't I get baptized? Didn't I go to church? Didn't I check the box of Christian on the census? Didn't I give a lot of money? Didn't I prophesy, cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Folks, you know what that right there is? I can call out Savior and Lord, but if I don't walk that out, this is what Jesus says. We talk about wanting to be all about Jesus. This is all about his words right there. So the question today is, are you counting on him as Savior and not Lord? Because if he's not Savior, if he's not Lord, then he's not your Savior either, the scripture tells us. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans 10, 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You see, if we make the confession but we don't live it, we lie. Jesus said, do you know what it means to love me? It means that you obey what I say. You see, this is what Paul is pointing them to. He's reminding them. He's saying, listen, the Christ, the Lord, the one you proclaim Lord, you need to continue to walk in him. Notice that in verse 6. Verse 6, Paul said, if you've received Jesus as Lord, the Lord, then walk in him. You see, the word walk is a metaphor for how we live our lives. So, if Jesus is Lord, that means that our walk, our pattern of life, the things that we do, the way we think, the places we go, the things we listen to, what we see, how our marriage looks, how we spend our money, the places that I end up spending free time, all of those things will reflect that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus in, Jesus should come out. If Jesus is not coming out, the chances are high that Jesus isn't going in. You're not taking in, you're not thinking, you're not dwelling so that it comes out. Listen, right now, I need you to hear, if you're feeling condemnation, you need to know, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. Me, I'm waving a flag to you. Wake up. Wake up. Jesus has called you to life. He's called you to freedom. He's called you. You have said he's my savior. Now then true life and true abundant life is found in walking with him and what his word has to say. So, first point is this. If Jesus isn't Lord, then he isn't your Savior. Here's the second thing quickly is this, is that if Jesus is your Lord, then he's your master. If Jesus is your Lord, then he is also your master. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, see to it, Paul's writing to them, remember there's false teachers that are out there, all that's infiltrating, and notice what he says, see to it that no one takes you captive. I want you to circle the word captive. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Slavery is probably one of the greatest ills our world has ever seen. Probably one of the greatest ills our world has ever seen. You realize that from the beginning of time, since Cain killed Abel, men have tried to overthrow men and nations have tried to overthrow nations. And then when they overthrow nations, they'll take captives. They enslave them, you know. I need you to hear me say, I'm so thankful for people who have given their lives and dedicated their lives so that slavery might be eradicated. But did you realize that there are still somewhere in estimates today of between 25 and 40 million slaves in our world today? You may know it as human trafficking. It's through forced encampments. Have you ever heard of the Uyghur people in China? It's a Muslim minority group who are wholeheartedly being enslaved and being eradicated through work and murder, to ethnic cleansing, enslaved. Today in America, in our country, America, there are some estimates there'll be just shy of 1 million slaves in America today. People who are working for visas. They've gotten here illegally and they're under such high, they're paying off someone. They're sex slaves. Our world, slavery needs to be eradicated still in our world today. I'm thankful that there are people who are working and trying to overcome that. But I want you to catch this. In case you don't know it, do you know that every one of you in here, you are slaves today, myself included? Spiritually, we are all slaves. You're either slaves to sin or you are slaves to righteousness. Romans 6, Romans chapter 6. I want you to write down Romans 6. I want you to go read it this afternoon. Romans 6, beginning around verse 15, it talks about that we're either slaves to sin or we are slaves to righteousness. The scripture tells us that we are all born in captivity because of our first father, because of Adam and Eve, because of them eating of the fruit. You realize that they didn't want to submit to the lordship. They had been deceived by the evil one and they cast off the lordship. They didn't follow God. Did he really say that? That's what the serpent said. And as a result, they were deceived, they were deluded, and sin entered into the world. And now you and I, we are born sinners because of the seed of Abraham. We were born sinners in captivity to slaves to sin, Romans chapter 6 says. Does that mean that we are as bad as we could be? No, but it means that we're under the authority of sin. That means we would walk in our sinful patterns. We may not do everything that is at the nth degree of sinful, but we are walking in sin. It becomes our master, and we do what that inside tells us to do, Scripture tells us. John 8, 34, Jesus says this. Jesus answered them, and he said this, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. In this room right now, there are athletes who practice soccer, they practice football, they practice tennis, they practice law, they practice medicine. And why do you practice things? So that you can become good at them. And Jesus says, those of us who practice sin are what? We're slaves to sin. You see, we're all born into that captivity. And it's only through the cross of Jesus Christ, it's only through his death, his substitutionary death, him taking my place on the cross, that now I have the ability to be overcome, to be set free from sin. So that I can be a slave now and to righteousness, to him, so that he becomes my primary authority, so that I might be able to walk in all of the ways and not be taken captive. This is what the scripture is speaking to us about. Romans 6:18 says this, having been set free from sin, now have become slaves to righteousness. You see, when we submit our lives to Jesus as Lord and we follow after him, because cross means boss, he's not just our Savior, he's our Lord. He changes us. We are no longer under the yoke of slavery. We now are set free to follow Jesus. I no longer have to sin because I'm bound to it. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Thanks be to the Lord that because of the grace of God, I can return and repent and agree that what I've been doing is wrong. And Father, I'm following you. I want that old nature to continue to die. Why? Because now I'm a slave to Christ. You see, this is what Paul is speaking about all throughout the New Testament, that you don't have to be held captive any longer. In verse 8, I want to define a couple of phrases. I want you to write these down real quick. I want to define a couple of phrases here that he puts through verse 8. He says, see to it. See to it means to watch out, beware. Have your eyes open. Notice this. The phrase take captive literally means to be kidnapped and carried away like a slave. The word there, the little phrase, human tradition, it means to come out of the mind of man. To come out of the mind of man. And then he uses two words together, empty deceit. It means that it promises something that it will never deliver. That's called a scam. To promise you something it will never deliver. Look at verse 8 with me again. I want you to see this. See to it. Hey, beware. Keep your eyes open. Be on the watch out so that no one kidnaps you, defrauds you, deceives you by wisdom and empty deceit. Empty deceit. Things that will never, ever pass. They'll never pass muster. They're lying to you. They will not deliver according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. He says, listen, you've got to be awake. You've got to know. So what was it that he was specifically talking about? Well, we're going to define it more in the weeks to come, probably in about 2 more weeks. We're going to define a little bit more. But specifically, it was speaking about a very toxic philosophy that came about in the first century, right alongside, I believe it was a philosophy that it was by men, but given by Satan himself, called Gnosticism. Gnosticism means the love of knowledge. It's a secret knowledge. It was people who were infiltrating the church who, yes, you can follow Christ, but there is a secret hidden knowledge, spiritual knowledge, known only to those of us who have been enlightened. Gnostics of this day, they were also called dualists, meaning this, they believed in a hard line between the body and the spirit. And the spirit was the only thing that was good. So things that were done in the flesh, the body's bad, doesn't really matter. Eat, drink, be merry, treat your body any way that you want to treat it. Conjoin it sexually with anyone, anything, because really it doesn't matter, because the spirit is the only thing that matters. And the spirit, as long as you, okay, yes, you follow Christ, but you also have to have the special knowledge. And this is what they're speaking about, is a super spirituality known only to them. And he's speaking to this. Folks, you realize what we believe determines what we do. And if we believe that Jesus is Lord, we've surrendered our life to him, we've come to the cross, He's our boss. Then we follow what it is that he has to say, and that determines our behavior. You see, their behavior was allowing them to do any, their belief was allowing them to behave in ways according to the elemental spirits, the scripture says, not according to Christ. There were also the Judaizers, those who were saying that if you want to follow Jesus, great, but you also have to follow these feasts. You've got to do, you got to meet on these days. You have to do these religious laws. And by doing those, see, Jesus plus. And Paul has spent his time saying, no. It's only Jesus. You know, today we still struggle with many of the same things. You realize that there are still elemental wisdom and philosophical things, the traditions of man that come to us that are seeking to take you captive. Things like humanism. Do you know what humanism is? Humanism is the belief that all men are born good, that we came into the world as a blank slate. And whatever we draw on that slate, good or bad, we know that that's not according to what Scripture tells us at all. And because we've come into this world good, we have the capacity to solve our problems. We have the capacity to be able to, with science and education and just sheer logic, if we're educated enough and we have enough groupthink, then we can come up with all the, we can solve all the world's problems, all the world's ills. Okay, let me give you a good way of noticing this. Have any of you noticed the back of the NFL football player helmets here recently? They all have humanistic thoughts and slogans on them. They're all meant to be a way to overcome social justice ills. If we'll just stop hate, we'll love all. It takes all of us. We can all do, if we all join together. And I need you to hear me. I hope those things happen, but according to the scripture, I need you to hear this. Any type of justice issues that do not include Jesus Christ are going to fail because they're elemental traditions of man. Some of you are going, whoa. Listen, I want slavery. I want justice, but I need you to hear me. If it is not according to what the scripture has to tell us about who we are and it evades the gospel, it will fail. Not according to me, but according to the scripture. According to scripture. You know, another toxic philosophy that's empty deceit that is deceiving man left and right is postmodernism. Do you know what postmodernism is? Postmodernism says this. It says that there is no absolute truth. It says that all truth is relative. Your truth, your truth, your truth. Let you do you. You do you, I'll do me. Listen, the scripture is our absolute truth. Remember he says this, as you've received Christ, the Lord, then you walk in him. And ladies and gentlemen, Life Point, if you're a member at Life Point Church, you count this as home. I need you to know, if you're beginning to hook your car or your boat to that car, if you realize, oh my gosh, I'm like hooking up with these philosophies of men. And I use that phrase intentionally. I need you to know, it's going to lead you to destruction. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, he is our Lord. And if he is our Lord, that means he is our boss. If we've come to the cross, he's our boss. And we follow what it is that he has to say. If you're finding your identity in anything else other than the cross of Christ and who he says, sorrow is going to come. In this passage, verses 6 through 15, we're going to get to 15 and on. We're going to get through we're stopping at 10. We're going to get 11 through 15 next week. In this, I'm going to ask you this week, would you please go back and look at all of the times in just those passages, verses 6 through 15, how many times you see the word in Christ, in him, in Christ, in him, in Christ, in him. In these verses that I've just read, 6 through 10, it's four different times. You see, when we begin to follow the traditions and the thoughts of man, it leads to destruction. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. And we stand firm, therefore, and do not again submit." Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Folks, you realize Jesus has set you free. He set you free in Christ so that we might follow him. And that sounds easy, doesn't it? But I'm just going to tell you, it's going to cost you in this world today. Some are going to look at you and they're going to say, "You're bigoted. You don't really know." Some are going to that book is thousands of years old and you're following it? You really believe that? And we have to stand and say, "Yeah, I do. This is where I draw my lines," is what the Lord has to say. Some of you right now, you're thinking, okay, if I'm to stand strong, if I'm going to remain firm, if I'm not going to be taken captive, if I'm not going to do that, how would I do that? How is it that that happens? Would you look back at verse 7, please? Go back to verse 7. Verse 7 tells us this. Paul's writing. In fact, I want to read verse 6 again, 6 and 7. "Therefore, as you received Christ, Jesus as Lord, as you received him as your Savior," also, you're going to see this means as you've been taught him, okay? "As you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him," and verse 7 says, "rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Do you see how many past tense things are right there? No, I want you to see that. Do you see how many past tense things? Things that have already happened to you. If you're a follower of Christ, you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Notice what has already happened to you. And Paul is telling them this so that their joy may abound. He says, listen, you've been rooted. You've been rooted. When Christ saved you, he drove your root in the ground. He said, you've been rooted. Not only have you been rooted, you've been built up. Do you see the mixed metaphors? He's using an agricultural metaphor and now he's using a building. He said, you've been rooted, you've been built up. He says, you've been established in faith. I need a t-shirt, one of those EST established, and I don't even remember what the year was now, that just commemorates when I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But you know what? Even more than that, you know when it was really established? Before time immortal. I've been rooted, I've been built up, I've been established in faith. And then he goes on to say, and you were taught. All of these things have already happened. And so as a result of that, you know what we can do in the midst of where we are today with things wanting to take us captive? When we remember these, we can go, joy, joy abounding. I can stand in the midst of where I am today because it's already I'm rooted, I'm built up, I'm established, I've been taught. Folks, listen, today, if you're looking for a new teaching about Christ to encourage you to take another step, here's what it is. Do what you already know about Jesus, what he has called you to do before you ever walked in here. What you already know about him, do that. Tell people, love people, serve people. In the name of Jesus, so that let your light shine. As you do those things, it proves that you are rooted, built up, established, and taught. And boy, when we're doing that, our joy is abounding. There's thanksgiving that happens because you begin to realize, oh, I've been set free. And you feel the freedom that you're walking in. I want to close with verses 9 and 10. It says, "For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." If you write in your Bibles, I hope you do, somewhere on a note, you need to write chapter 1, verse 19. That is a quote. 2:9 is a quote from 1:19. Remember, this is a letter. He's repeating himself because he doesn't want us to forget this. He says, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily," Jesus, "and you have been filled with him, who is the head of all rule and authority." Do you realize that we're not just singing "the fullness of God lives in me"? The scripture tells us that the fullness of God lives within you. The full deity of God lives within you. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's not three, that's one. And the Holy Spirit now takes up residence. He lives within inside you. The fullness of God dwells in you so that you can empower, go, I've been rooted, built up, taught, established. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you. Because of what you've done, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. I can walk today. And some of you today, you need an encouragement because you're beat down, you're struggling, you're dealing with finances, you're dealing with medical issues, your family feels a little fractured. I need you to know this. Jesus has rooted you. He's established you. He's built you up. You're being taught the word of God in your small group. Students, listen to me right here. I got a lot of teenagers right in this area. I want you to hear this. You got a tough world you're walking in. I recognize that. Your youth pastor recognizes that. But I need you to know, you have the ability. I'm trying to find all of the students so I can get a hold of them, see them. I need you to know this. If you follow Christ, you've been rooted, you've been built up, you've been established. You're being taught what it means to stand and walk strong. And I need you to know, that's going to cost you. It's going to cost probably some popularity. It's going to cost some embarrassment. It may cost you a job. It may cost you an appointment. But I need you to hear this, students. It is well worth it. When Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And then he said, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ. Jesus asked them, so will you now leave when the others were leaving? Peter said, who else are we going to go to that has the words of life? Who else will we go to? Where would we turn? Folks, I need you to hear me. Students specifically, you on the front lines, you are hearing all kinds of things. I hope as an adult you're listening to this because it's no different for you either. You're hearing, you're reading. It doesn't matter if it's on Instagram, TikTok, you adults and senior adults, Facebook, CNN, Fox. It doesn't matter where it is. You're hearing all kinds of empty deceit that is promising you all kinds of things. And I need you to hear me. If it is not attached to the name of Jesus Christ, filtered through the scriptures, it's going to lead to deception. I need you to know that. These folks that stood today, most of them are gone already. So I'm going to speak to you because they heard this in the first service. Parents, grandparents, if you're trying to point your kids and your grandkids to Jesus as Lord, and he's not Lord in your home, it will fall on deaf ears because they're going to watch what you do more than what you say. If you want Jesus as your Savior, but he's not your Lord, you're not being transformed day by day, don't expect us, Heath, Austin, me, your small group leader, we get them about an hour and a half a week. Do you realize what we pour into them? They're watching you. They're watching you. And what we do is either going to fly in the face of all that you're teaching them, what they see at home, or it's just going to bolster what you're already doing. So parents, I'm calling you, is Jesus your Lord today? Not is he your Savior, is he your Lord? Because if he's your Lord, he's your Savior. If he's your Savior, he may not be your Lord. Are you living a transformed life by the power of his word? That's what we call you to today. That's the word that we preach. We preach Christ crucified and him alone. And that cost us. That cost each and every one of us today. today, some of you are in here and you're going, yeah, I need that. I need that Jesus. I need him to be my Savior and my Lord. Here's what I would ask. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. We're going to stand, and I'm going to be standing right down here. Heath will be down here. I'm going to be here. Austin's close. We have some ladies we can get you connected to. Ladies, if you want someone to pray with you also, I can pray with you. But if you want a lady, you go, I want to speak to a lady. I've got some ladies we can get you connected with, and you can pray with them. You want to come down here and just pray. Maybe you need to surrender your life to Christ today. We want to help you walk in that. We want to help you walk in that. Jesus, we love you and we honor you. We magnify you. I thank you for our church. I thank you for your church that you're building. Lord, this is your work. We'd ask that today that your Holy Spirit would do all the things that your Holy Spirit does. Convicts, teaches, encourages, points people to Jesus. Jesus, we magnify you. Today, may you be honored. And we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus today. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand in this room, please. Would you mind standing? Zion's going to come. He's going to lead us in singing. Maybe you want to pray. You want to give. Whatever it is that the Lord's called us to today, called you to, would you please be faithful to follow through with that? Zion, thank you.